Good afternoon to all of our participants here in Singapore, and good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of our remote participants. My name is Susie Johnson. Welcome to the At-Large IDN Working Group this 26th day of March at 1700 local Singapore time. Please remember to state your name when speaking for transcript purposes. Over to you, Rinalia.
Thank you, Susie. Rinalia Abdulrahim for the transcript. I am co-chairing this meeting together with Edmund Chong, who is seated beside me. I just wanted to say welcome. This is the At-Large IDN Working Group meeting. We have divided the meeting into two sections, and we only have 1 hour to cover it. The first section will address the issue of universal acceptance, and the second section will address the issue of the Root Zone Label Generation Rules Project, specific to the concerns and needs of language community. The question has been asked, what is the difference between this session and the previous sessions that have been addressed by ICANN? The difference is that this session is organized by the at-large community. Your input and your issues are important for us because we advocate the interest of internet end users in ICANN. So if we see that there is a need to make statements through the ALAC on specific issues of concern to you, that is valuable for us to know, and that's why we're having this discussion. And with that, I hand over to Edmund to start the first part of the meeting.
Thank you, Rinalia. And thank you for the panelists that we've coming along that we've invited. And I see that they're dispersed along the table. That's fine. I'll come and pick up on you guys as we go along. So the issue has been talked about a little bit. It is the universal acceptance, but this particular one focusing on IDN and, of course, IDN TLDs. So the this, of course, just as a quick background, this is an issue that has been around, and it's not just about IDN TLDs. However, what IDN and IDN TLDs does make a difference is this universal acceptance of TLD issue is no longer just a gTLD issue, but also a ccTLD issue, and that is highlighted by a document that the joint IDN working group between the GNSO and the CCNSO produced. It's a report that identified a few recommendations for ICANN to take and further the work. I won't go into the details of it, but I did want to highlight that the main theme of the four recommendations is basically one that within what ICANN within ICANN's purview and within ICANN's policy direct influence, there are some areas that ICANN can do to promote universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, then that's basically on really getting our own act together, making sure that registry and registrar systems that have a relationship with ICANN themselves have universal acceptance implemented. The second one, which would be to take this issue to a more strategic level at ICANN. Right now, a lot of times we talk about universal acceptance. It is regarded as more of a technical side of things. Previous documents before the JIG that talk about this came from, for example, the SSAC, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. So here's a time. The particular final report does try to push this to a more strategic level and also to point towards work for the community at large, or cross community work. So, in a nutshell, I think there have been some work done, and the report that the JIG produced covered most of the policy aspects of this issue. I think. And it has been adopted by the two councils and sent to the board. What I'm interested to talk about perhaps here is to talk about next steps. what the community as a whole could do in assisting ICANN on not only on the recommendations, but what exactly we should do as next steps, starting from here, but certainly going beyond this community. So I guess with that, I'm happy that a few panelists are willing to join me to at least get the discussion started. I don't see Ram here yet, but he should be on his way. But so I'm happy that Jonathan Frakes, Samad, Michele, Andre, you're thank you for joining us here. And I would like to start by, I guess, asking you to perhaps take a quick note on what do you think the next steps should be, building on some of the discussions we had previously, and especially on Monday as well in the public session on this related topic. Just looking around the table, if I could perhaps start with Jonathan and go around.
Certainly, Edmund. Thank you very much, Rinalia, and everyone from the ALAC for the invitation to participate in this important topic. My name is Jonathan Frakes, and I'm here as a community contributor to the developer community through a role as a volunteer with the Mozilla Foundation, where I have the opportunity to assist with the public suffix list and helping in upkeep and maintenance of that important public resource that has been an invaluable tool for universal acceptance, not just of new generic top-level domains, but also within the ccTLD community, and of course, in the very, very important frontier of multilingual domain names as we've been introducing new IDN ccTLDs as well as IDN gTLDs in the ICANN space. I'd like to report some successes that we have had as a result of the important work in coming together between the ICANN community, the at-large community, the community of people who've come together in working groups in and around the important topic of internationalized domain names. But I'd also like to note that the variant working group, as well as the joint IDN group, Edmund, I believe you were chaired that. These were very, very important foundations that helped to build upon and bring information into the developer community. I participate and have participated as a volunteer with the Mozilla Foundation to help them both with some of the issues that they had early on with internationalized domain names, as well as, of course, with what I described as the public suffix list upkeep. When I first had the opportunity to start my volunteer work with Mozilla, they had a process in place that was designed to create security protection for users in the form of essentially a whitelist that you'd have to be included in order for internationalized domain names to work at the second level or deeper within a URL. And you would have to present to the developers essentially your code points, your policies around IDN. And this was really around protecting from the very well-known homograph issue where you could compose PayPal using a combination of Latin characters and Cyrillic characters in combination. Now, since that time, the joint IDN group, as well as the work of the variant working groups, had built a base of work where language specialists and specialists within these different scripts came together within ICANN and were able to identify the areas where those things were possible in combination or not possible in combination. And I was able to take that information into the developer community to identify, for example, that the combination of Greek and Latin characters together might be problematic. However, it's unlikely that you'll run into these other problems in other language combinations. So there are some problematic combinations where these homograph attacks are possible, and there's combinations where they are not. And so rather than to take and have a whitelist where somebody has to go through and get their domains approved through yet another process after going through the ICANN process, why not instead have it rule-based, based upon the language preferences of the browser or the underlying operating system? And so I was able to compile what other browsers were doing, and I noticed Mr. Subernard is in the room. I wanted to compliment you on what you did early with Microsoft with the Internet Explorer, because we built a lot upon that. We essentially made it rule-based. And so this was very important, because with the pace of IDN TLDs coming into the root, we wanted to make sure that rather than have this process, which in some cases would take months, and sometimes I think there were a couple of occasions where people had made requests and those didn't go through, it was not going to scale with the velocity and pace of the introduction of the important IDN TLDs at the right side of the dot, would be that would be replaced. In essence, rather than exposing XN dash dash for IDN characters for TLDs that had not yet been, and I'm doing finger quotes in the air as I say this, been blessed by this community process, let's let them be exposed in the native characters that they've been composed in so that those show up in the URL appropriately. And then only in the cases where there's combinations that are known to be problematic, expose those characters as PUNA code where the combination of code points is not, both languages are not activated in the browser. So if a user activates both Cyrillic, like I've got the Russian language activated and perhaps, French or Russian and English, that you would expose a combination of that PayPal homograph attack, but somebody in that circumstance might actually have the sophistication to appreciate that it's not actually PayPal that they're visiting. And this was a wonderful benefit because when Dutch Shabaka and when some of the other new top-level domains were introduced, there was not the problem that you would have to go through this terrible blessing process to not have your PUNA code domain exposed. Rather, instead, it would work right out of the box. And so when the new TLDs arrived to the room...
Sorry, Jonathan, for intervening. We have a very short time.
In summary, it works now well, and we built upon some of the work that happened with the joint IDN group and the variant working group, and we had a lot of support from ICANN staff, and we were quite pleased with the ability to have that working. So I thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan, and apologize for intervening. We have 15 minutes or less.
No problem. I get paid by the word. Yeah, so no.
No wonder. Should have considered that. Now, I think that's a great the reason why I wanted you to start first. I think that gives us a great example of work done here in ICANN impacting other areas, and that's really where we want to build it. So, just back to sort of the item is that what do you think the next steps should be now that we have identified these issues and come up with this report.
Well, could I add one final, sure. I guess, closing thing? This is volunteer work that I do, and I mentioned this in other fora, but, we talk about ICANN and things that ICANN should do, and I really view, myself as ICANN and all of us in this room as ICANN and look at where we can do things like I did to volunteer with Mozilla to help build upon what's happening, to help chip away at some of these issues that are in the way of universal acceptance. So, again, thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. So I'd like to go to Michele because one of the things is that one of the recommendations is for registries and registrars may need some changes to their system to make sure that its system, those who are providing IDN TLDs, to make sure that they have acceptance, for example, in the contact fields, emails, or name server records, those kind of things. What do you think the next steps might be? Perhaps give a perspective on from registrar's point of view as well.
Thanks. Michele Nealon for the transcript record and all that. And by the way, I'm amused that you'd forgotten that Jonathan is actually wants to become a politician when he grows up. from the registrar perspective, I suppose some of the challenges come down to, you know, implementation and education. We've seen multiple implementations of IDNs. You know, there's different technical ways of doing it. I think part of the challenge, of course, you know, goes back to, you know, this IDN exists as a concept. You can type it in your browser, but then suddenly, depending on what browser you're using, it could end up reverting back to the puny code. So you end up with the XN dash dash instead of the actual address you've typed in. I mean, we've seen that kind of thing. In terms of stuff that we need to do, a lot of it depends. I mean, our software, a lot of it works fine. It's grand. I'm Irish. I say it's grand. That's Irish for it. It works fine. Oh, look, there's Andre across there. Andre is the man who actually explained IDNs to me in a way that I could actually understand, made it real. Because as a native English speaker, you don't really appreciate IDNs. I mean, you can't. I mean, you cannot empathize. You can see them as an abstract, see them as some kind of academic thing, but you can't really empathize with a non-native speaker who's using a different keyboard. And this gentleman sitting beside me here can tell you all about the challenges he's had with, you know, keyboards and software not being available and things like, you know, Twitter won't support IDNs properly. So I think in many respects the issue is not just a matter of one of registrars, because we're at the more technical end of the spectrum. Under the 2013 REA, there's a pretty light but simple requirement for us to support the IDNs and, you know, as the registries do them, which I kind of read and scratched my head and reread it, passed to my technical team. They read it and went, huh? We're not going to come up with a different mapping. I mean, for God's sake, why would we? We've got better things to be doing. I think a lot of it comes down to trying to get, you know, these platforms and things like that to work. That's where one of the challenges lies. But it's not just, the universal acceptance isn't just IDNs. IDNs are part of it, and I mean, it's an important part, and I totally appreciate that. But, you know, I've seen some of the posts from others where, you know, you type in whatever the hell it is, .com, and it doesn't matter what browser, what device you're on, it knows that's a URL. You do it with, say, a .guru or a ., one of the other crazy new extensions, and it doesn't know what to do. It just sits there laughing at you, and you're kind of going, click, especially if you're on a mobile. So
one of the questions is, you know, some of the IDNs, as you register, the email part or the name server records.
The email part, I mean, okay, you did go down the email route. I didn't want to go down the email route because that's the bit that really breaks it all. Can somebody please name one widely used open source or commercial email client that is 100% fully compliant with IDNs?
Okay. We have an answer.
I mean, and no, using the power supply won't work. He's trying to use the power
Outlook.
Supply.
Outlook supports IDN completely.
Yeah, but but hold on.
Microsoft Office Outlook.
Hold on. I suppose I should qualify that. Without me, as a non-Russian speaker, non-Chinese speaker, non-Mandarin, non-Cantonese, non-all of those things, having to install extra language packs. It works?
It just works.
Okay, on Windows? Okay, I'll have to
clarify on that, actually. Outlook does work on the domain part. It's, if you talk about the username part, that's a different story. But at least on the domain part, I believe... we have people from Microsoft.
Oh, no, I mean, this may have changed. It's just, yeah. The last time I tried to do it, I can't remember which email client I was using at the time, and I couldn't. And that was one of the challenges that, you know, we've been discussing in certain areas for a while. Now, I'm not a big Microsoft head, so I wouldn't have, if Microsoft do support it now, then maybe that fixes it. But that was a challenge.
Comment, perhaps, from...
Yeah, I think... a lot of it's getting better. It's not perfect, though. So I think your comment is correct, and it's definitely not functional in properties like Outlook.com. No, this is, you know, the web-based versions of the email access are not
working.
That's not working. Outlook itself, the Outlook client, does work.
Thanks for the clarification. As I said, I tried some of this stuff a couple of years ago. It didn't work, and... You know, I've got a lot of things that I'll get excited about. I just didn't go back again.
No, thank you. And I guess one of the things is whether within this community, if we get our own systems from the registry and registrar, at least that those parts working, that might help sort of create the momentum. I'll go over to Andre, in terms of thoughts and whether this the ICANN community, what else can the ICANN community do?
I'll just do my regular preaching with the idea and just go out and keep pushing the guys from Google and Microsoft, with the big guys. I mean, I know there's a lot of development in the small open source projects, email-based, engines. There are a lot of custom solutions to support the IDN email, for example, okay? But if you need to be covered globally around the world, it should be taken by the leaders, like social networks, email platforms, search engines. And if somebody, some big guy, will start, others will follow. So it's like a circle. Who starts first? That's my opinion on the idea.
To add, I mean, it's just one of the things, like, say, starting with the big guys. It's like with a lot of the things we talk about in these closed, airless, windowless rooms. I think actually ICANN is trying to depress us all. Please, can I have a room with a window? There's several of these things. I mean, there's DNSSEC, IPv6, IDN. And, you find a lot of the time that apart from those of us who go to a lot of these things, there's kind of a chicken and egg, as we say in English, the chicken and egg scenario. When we were at, oh my God, which conference was it? Was it the New Domains one in Munich? Help. One of the guys from Google said that, oh yes, Google is committed to making, and I think, I can't remember what he committed to exactly, if I say the wrong thing, I'll probably get sued, and they can afford many more lawyers than I can. But he said that they were committed to making a lot of these things work on all the Google applications. Now, I don't know what's happened since then, but he actually stood up and said a few things and had people going, ooh, this is interesting.
Thank you. And I guess riding on that, and really what driving at one particular question in terms of next steps from at least the large IDN working group is whether there are things, whether it is valuable to convene some sort of group to continue this advocacy out as the staff team implements. So I'd like to perhaps Samad can add, not necessarily on this, but just in terms of what you think the next steps might be.
So I have four clear things I want to say. We've all been talking about what others can do. I think I'm probably going to focus more on what we can do, and I think that's probably going to be more concrete as far as results are then concerned. First of all, I get concerned. So I am speaking in my personal capacity as a community member. Representing a community of Arabic, coming from a community of Arabic script, which is actually using a non-Latin set. And I get a little concerned when the two terminologies being used, so I'm a little confused and I want to actually clarify that as well. Are we talking about universal acceptability of TLDs or are we talking about universal acceptance of IDNs, domain names? And I think that's a very important clarification we need to do. There would be an inclination from ICANN's side that they limit the work to IDN TLDs, but that doesn't solve user problems. So we really need, as a user community, to solve the problem of universal acceptability of domain names. The difference is, so if I, for those who are not understanding what I'm trying to say, if we go to a domain name, it has multiple parts. So we can have www.icann.org. If we are just solving problems of universal acceptability of TLDs, we're only going to solve .org problems and not www.icann part of the domain name problems. And that's no use for the end user. So, you know, for the end user, the whole thing, www.icann.org, must work. So first of all, I think we need to clarify and be very clear whether we're talking about TLDs or domain names, and I really do recommend that we talk about domain names and not TLDs. So that was the first point I wanted to make. The second point which I wanted to make was that we're trying to solve a problem without actually understanding what the problem is. So one of the first thing we need to do is not talk about this in a top-down way, but actually go down there and do a bottom-up exercise and actually first make a concrete list of what all the issues are. That list needs to be exhaustive. And then once we have an exhaustive list, classify the problems into whatever categories of problems they may be. So there may be smaller list of classes which needs to be identified. And then based on those classes of issues, identify who are actually the target audience or people who are actually going to solve those problems. And some of them may be actually sitting around the table here. Some may be outside ICANN. But, we really do need to chart the problem down more explicitly. And just to give you three examples. So I do hear about the, and it was mentioned here as well, that length of a TLD is a problem. Well, sure, length of TLD is a problem, but there are many more problems, and let's get them out on the table as well. So one example is basically we use a zero-bit non-joiner in Arabic script. Internet Explorer does is ignores it when it's parsing an IDN. What Chrome does is actually uses it and converts that as part of the puny code. So Chrome and IE have a different, they do not agree with the way they deal with zero-bit non-joiner, and I think the responsibility and the issue does not lie with IE and Chrome. It lies with the Arabic script community, because they have not really defined how that should be used within the Arabic script community. So I'm not putting responsibility outside. I'm actually putting responsibility inside, probably on myself to a large extent. So we need to come together as a community and define these problems and how these problems should be addressed in a consistent way. Only then people outside can actually implement them the way we would like it. A line height, for example, is an issue when these browser bars are just not compatible with Arabic domain names, and so on. So those are a couple of issues. The third thing I wanted to bring up was that if we have to chart out these problems, we cannot do a IDN acceptability problem. This needs to be sliced up as script level, what are Arabic script problems, what are Chinese script problems. So it has to be sliced up at language level and really looked at it in detail from a script level and script perspective. And the final thing is that, as I said earlier, there is a script community responsibility in this as well. And the script communities do need to come forward and take that responsibility to identify very clearly what the problems are which need to be solved. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and sorry for rushing up. The first few items really are sort of speaking my mind. And one of the things, the reason why the jig is actually closing down is realizing that this issue is a little bit more than and policy and more than just the SOs. And that's why trying to get the ALAC side of things, and we can talk about universal acceptance, especially not just on a TLD level, but on IDN level, which is what this group is about. And that perhaps is the right direction, because if you solve the universal acceptance of IDN, you automatically solve this issue of universal acceptance of TLDs. That's the side effect it gets. But I guess thank you, Ram, for joining us. Before I go, I'd like to see if anyone wants to add to it, and then I'll give you the last word. But I guess I'll be direct in saying that, looking at some of the discussions, my question really is whether from the large community or whether the large community should try to gather some momentum to have a group that would work alongside, probably a cross-community group that would work alongside the staff implementation or the staff work on this as we go along the path so that we can leverage the at-large network and also the ICANN community. So anyone wants to, please, Osana. And please keep it really short, and then I'll leave a couple of minutes and for Ram to wrap
Sana
up.
Приходько Фазерекат, thank you very much. We just proposed to create a working group, especially for Cyrillic audience. First of all, aiming on the solving of problems of emails, because, for example, for Ukraine, it's not very good to have only one browser, which can work with emails. And we would like to invite not only ICANN, of course, cross-community representatives, but we would like also to invite ISOC representatives and all other organizations. Thank you.
Thank you, Osagna. Any additions? Since we are running out of time, Michele, please.
Sure, listen, you did invite me along, what you expect. Is there any kind of syncing up between ALAC, ICANN, and ISOC on these kind of things? I mean, it just seems that ISOC is a kind of a natural, I'll use the word partner. Oh, and by the way, bonus points for using cross-community, Edwin. I mean, that bonus points, excellent. Buzzwords, yay, you win. No, but, you know, the ISOC seem to be very good at the entire kind of communications, talking about these things in terminology that my mother could actually work with, whereas ICANN seems to be very good at speaking pure lawyer. I'm sorry, American lawyer.
And your mother is not an American lawyer.
My mother is not an American lawyer. I mean, that's like a double insult. I mean, she's not a, I mean, you know, where do, the, oh my God, wow.
Okay, no, thank you. And So that is, I think, at least in my mind, that's where I'd like to explore. And I guess we were kind of run out of time, but we'll take it to the mailing list to explore further whether a group might be formed.
Okay. Sorry, practical thing. If you're going to talk about a mailing list, you might want to put it up on the slides.
Please do. It's the IDN working group mailing list, and I think anyone is welcome to join. So we'll, if staff could put it up, we'll put it up, and I'll pass it to Ram for, I guess, just before we wrap up.
Thank you, and my apologies for coming into the session late. I had something else that was scheduled to end at 5, but it's an ICANN meeting. I would share just a couple of things. It seems to me that the focus, this is not a technical problem. And I hear in many, many venues ways to solve the technology. There are technical things that had to be solved, but relatively speaking, my perspective is that those are the easier parts of the problem to solve. There are a few things that I'd like to enumerate as things that had to be worked on. Number one, the explanation of this problem in a way that is understandable to technical folks who are management is important. There is no such thing right now. If you look at most of the explanations, it is explanations that is understandable to technical people, but not to managers of technical people. And that layer. And that's where decision-making often happens in a lot of the organizations where we have to go and get them to do something. So we have to work on that. The second is that I think the job is to cast a pretty wide net, because the normal places that you look at, browsers and application systems, it's pretty easy to get to browsers, relatively speaking, but application systems, you have to take Sarmad's approach, and you have to go literally in geography by geography, because forms that have been developed on various applications that have predefined restrictions on Universal acceptance. You know, what is actually a TLD? What is an email? Those have now been localized around the world, and there is work that is required, and it has to be done in a local, regional type of a way. There is no one size fits all for that. That's also not a technical problem. One other thing which it opened up my eyes. It happened at this meeting here. Someone came to me and said, you know, universal acceptance may also be about governments allowing or disallowing TLDs, which is interesting. In terms of the working group itself, an ALAC that has been proposed, I have two suggestions on tasks and objectives. One is it would be great to come together and build and to have a definition of what are the common user expectations on multiple platforms. That doesn't exist today. And at best, what happens is that the individual who is involved in or who is affected, if it's a TLD operator, if it is a registrar, whoever, their expectations are being presented. But often that is colored by other requirements, economic requirements or governmental requirements, et cetera. So given that this is ALAC, it would be very good, I think, to look at what are the common user expectations, especially on multiple platforms. The second has to do with two topics. Acceptance encompasses compatibility, and the other part of it is interoperability. A lot of the discussion is about interoperability, okay, but compatibility is another component. So, you know, so the easy explanation for that is an IDN TLD. Is it compatible with an operating system that has been localized? And that's not an interoperability question, right? We know that in Arabic itself, we know that there are operating systems that work, that use different character sets or rules depending on the locale. And having one solution, even in the Arabic script area, may not actually be compatible with other systems. So look at both compatibility and interoperability. Thanks.
Thank you, Ram. I'm going to take the discussion to the second part of our topic today. Sorry, Michele, if you were going to intervene just now. We're going to move on. Okay, we have 19 minutes, and in the past 2 days, we've had an introduction in the IDN TLD program update of ICANN about the root zone project on label generation rule set. And different language communities have come together and had discussions with the integration panel, which is the group of experts, on what their community is going to do with regards to their scripts that pertain to the root. And we've gotten some feedback, and I would actually like some articulation of language community concerns that apply to end-user interests that we can take back to the ALAC. And I would like to start with Sarmat for the Arabic script generation panel.
Thank you, Renalia. again, I'll try to make two or three possibly points very quickly. First of all, I guess these comments are coming out of the initial work we've started doing within the Arabic script generation panel. This is work done by Task Force on AIDN, and I'm not going to spend time on introducing the task force, but it's a community-led effort, and please feel free to get in touch, and I can share more details with you. So some of the things which came up, and these have been shared on other platforms as well, but I would want to reiterate them here. First of all, the process, LGR process requires a MSR, maximal starting repertoire, which limits the IDNA 2008 protocol to a smaller subset, which may be allowed to those characters which may be allowed for the LGR for the root zone. It's understandably something which is governed by certain rules of security, stability, longevity, and conservatism, and so on. In any case, I think it's at this time MSR is supposed to be sort of a first layer. Actual delegation is, or actual work is going to be done through the LGR, which is eventually included. So some of those conservative principles which apply eventually to LGR may not be as much applicable to LGR, MSR. And I think that distinction needs to be a little clearer for us as a community to understand. We are all so that was and then a related issue is the MSR and LGR. There's supposed to be revision cycles associated with these two levels of definition. When we are making a decision on which characters to include at MSR level and which characters to include at LGR level, our decision today is also based on when the MSR and LGR could actually be revised. If something's going to be revised 5 years or 10 years from now, that has a different bearing on our decision-making process versus if the MSR and the LGR are revised in 1 year. So I think one of the things which we are requesting as a community is that the revision cycle for MSR and LGR be made very explicit, and the process for that revision cycle should also be made very explicit by the integration panel and the ICANN-LGR process. I think the conservatism of MSR should, so 2 points summarizing again, the process and revision of MSR and LGR should be explicit, and then the actually process of conservatism as it applies to MSR, not LGR, should be made a little more explicit as well. There was a talk about using ethnog scale where we cut off languages between L4 and L5 levels. That gives, unfortunately, some... there are some languages in our communities which are struggling to revive, and technology, in a way, should assist in that process. But this conservatism approach, especially at an MSR level, does not help in that process. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. For the Chinese language community, Edmund, do you want to?
Yes. Sure, I'll be really quick. I think in terms of a user point of view, my biggest concern is right now the new GTLDs are already launched, and the IDN variant TLDs are not there. So every day we're creating negative user experience for Chinese users around the world, especially, of course, in China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Macau, and here in Singapore. So every day we're creating that negative experience for people. And some of the IDN TLDs that have launched are already live, and that's the reason why those are cause for concern. While I understand that the program is moving, I guess, as far as fast as it can, in fact, wearing a different hat, I think, you know, the team is working very hard on it. But I think, you know, this is something that we need to keep in our mind. Every day, Chinese users are getting a negative user experience and may lose trust in IDNs as we go along.
Thank you, Edmund. Earlier, Declan made a presentation on behalf of the Chinese Generation Panel, and I understand that what you would like is also to have a cross-community panel for Chinese, Japanese, and Korean.
Yes, indeed. I think the... as I mentioned, and I would also to iterate that the cross... panels in the group are desirable. And I would like to put the principle on the table that it is we don't care the lemma of the cross panel group as long as it's authorized and approved by ICANN, so that the agreement and the consensus could be official. Okay. And I would also like to respond to Edmund. I agree with you. There is an increasing number of new GTLD in Chinese in the internet, but there are still a lot of work that the CGP should do. So, yeah, I think it's time to accelerate.
Thank you, Declan. The point I take from you is that in the Asian or East Asian region, the authorization process is important to facilitate it in terms of getting together. That's why we're highlighting that. YJ Park, in terms of the Korean language.
Thank you, Rinalia. I think probably those who attended like previous sessions, you probably heard from Dongman about what's going to happen with this Korea panel. Basically, Korea panel is going to, get together in the future. We haven't really get together yet. But in terms of the uses of the Hangul, I got the impression we are going to heavily discuss on whether we just wanted to include Hangul only instead of like including other character sets like alphabetical, the character sets and also this Chinese character sets. That's the one of the main discussion for Hangul. And then for Chinese characters, we called as a Hanja. For that, I just realized we wanted to also discuss about Chinese characters as well. But again, the scope of the Hanja is going to be also discussed more. But one of the options and the suggestions from the expert is sort of we wanted to use this Unicode table, the agreed, the CJK unified version of the around 20,000 the Chinese character sets. And that's the current status quo. But taking advantage of this, I wanted to remind you that Singapore is a very historic place in many ways because this is the first city, like, the people who were actively engaged with this idea and discussion, like back in even 1999, I start to see some of those faces here who were actively engaged back then. But we really have to understand this dialogue has been very slow in many ways. I think it's also our fault as well as users. We didn't really push them much. I mean, we've been very accustomed to this English domain name and even myself, and we don't really want to pay attention to this IDN that much. And again, as users, this whole, like, the technical terms, like LGR kind of the terms, I don't know what it means. So maybe for a large community, like a user community, maybe it might be one of our responsibility to, to summarize and explain what really this technical term means to users and what kind of, connotation it has with this specific technical terms. So, yes, that's so far with the Korean panel. And we will hopefully come up with a consensus among those members. This is so far. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, YJ. This is Rinalia again. Earlier, when Akshat from India, from CDAC in India, was presenting, he also mentioned that this was a concern from him in terms of communication materials, primarily because the script that he's dealing with covers many languages and he has to reach out to many communities, and it's quite difficult to reach the full set of communities, and the communication tools can help a lot in addition to special facilitation. And I know that from the Arabic script work as well, we are also concerned about the completeness of covering languages using the particular script. And I know in the presentation from Dongman Lee earlier for Korea, the concern is how to engage the communities in North Korea as well as the Korean Chinese community, because it's quite challenging to do that. And yes, YJ, you want to say?
So having said that, I just realized Korea is also getting very globalized like many other countries around the world these days. And that means there are many people are getting married to people from different countries. Like, for example, people from Vietnam and Indonesia, Philippines and China. So especially the southern part of Korea right now, there are a lot of these international families. And those who are educated under those, the mother who use different languages and different character sets, probably they might have, pick up some kind of, you know, preference for other languages character sets rather than just Korean character sets. So, you know, that's the kind of the dynamics which we cannot really predict for the future generation and the whole, you know, how we can reflect the current the dynamics to the, you know, internet.
Thank you, YJ. I was wondering if Andre has any comment from the Cyrillic side.
Yes, I do have a comment. We call the script a monoscript. We don't have a variances, okay? So for us, the life is much easier. And it's just straightforward. That's why I'm sitting here, like, listening. But I have nothing to add to that.
Okay. Thank you, Andre. Naila, you wanted to make a comment.
Yes, please, specifically to Andre. I've heard this several times. So it's our fault. It's misfortunate labeling of the effort. This is not about variants only. We are creating rules for permissible labels in the root zone, so everyone is affected. So Cyrillic is affected by having a Cyrillic generation panel, which the Russian language belongs to the Cyrillic script. You are deciding which Cyrillic Unicode code points are allowed to be used for labels in Russian and Ukrainian, etc.
Yes, I understand that, but all the registries using the Cyrillic have submitted their tables into IANA. The CC, the fast tracks domains, the GTLD domains, they all submitted the IDN tables. And for example, it's not possible to register a second level domain using a mixed script anyway. So I don't see the actually the reason for the confusion, or I'm not getting it. I mean, really.
Do I have time to go into this? Or
no,
do you
we
want
don't.
Me to
we
it?
Don't have time. So okay. I would encourage you to take it as a side table discussion, because I think it's important that Andre understand the linkage with the project. Otherwise, we would be in trouble. I would also like to, yes, I know that you want to comment on this issue as well. So I just want to go around the table because we have 4 minutes, and I want to end it before 6 o'clock. Akshat is here. Yes, I would like to hear from you, Akshat.
Hi, Rinalia. This is Akshat. I'm part of the proposed Neo Brahmi generation panel, and I would like to second the thoughts voiced by Sarmad regarding making aware the software operating systems and the applications about the proper way of handling internationalized domain names. Given the fact that next 2.8 billion internet users could be coming from the IDN side, the maintaining the trust in the internationalized domain names is of utmost importance at this point. And regarding the making the terms that are being used in these projects more easy to understand for the community, that the point that you even told the group about, that when we approach the community so that they can become volunteer in this project, what happens is the documentation that is needed, it is quite complex, and if we have some material which will make them understand in an easier way what this procedure is all about, that would definitely be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Akshat. Did you have something to say? Yes, please.
Dušan from CCTLD in Serbia. We have a Cyrillic who is not exactly like Russian Cyrillic. We have phonetic language. But to maintain everything, to maintain user, you must provide services. Services is what we need in Serbia. For example, I will give you example of what I can provide to us with Cyrillic characters. This is Cyrillic. So, what are we talking about? universal acceptance. Okay.
He's just volunteered to join.
I was in a working group on Cyrillic in Serbia. We have an IDN domain. We have a problem with IDN emails, not the ones that you talked about with Andrei. Andrei told you that Outlook will work with IDN emails, but this is not the right IDN email because on the left side of the monkey sign, you cannot have Cyrillic. Okay. RFC Cyrillic, there is a standard. Okay.
Okay, so I think the Cyrillic community need to get together and sort it out. And I would encourage you to have that meeting immediately. So we are now at the end of our meeting. I would like to thank you very much, but before you go, there is the AP RALO reception and showcase starting at 6 o'clock in the VIP room lounge, and I would like to invite you to participate. Michele, you have something?
I just wanted to congratulate you and Alia.
Okay, thank you very much.
So I've been watching you chair this session. I was thinking to myself, God, soon enough she'll be up there on that high table looking down on us all.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Thank you very much.